Do you keep an eye on Rupert Murdoch's Twitter feed? Of course you do. And, well, then you would have seen him today saying, Pope Francis appoints brilliant Cardinal Pell from Sydney to be number three power in the Vatican. Australia will miss him, but world will benefit. This is a promotion for Australia's most senior Catholic cleric. This is one that it's going to see him leave Sydney. He's off to Rome. He'll have to be replaced, of course. His title will be Cardinal Prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy. That would look great on a business card. And it also means he's going to be reporting directly to the Pope on the finances of the Roman Curia, Vatican's city-state institutions connected to the Holy See. He's basically now the Vatican's new financial watchdog. I wonder what Scott Stevens makes of this appointment, editor of the ABC's Religion and Ethics Online. Scott, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well, Waleed. How about you?
I'm very, very well. What do you make of this? Was this a surprise that George Pell would be selected for a role like this?
Yes and no. It's always the answer with these sorts of things, isn't it? Look, well, one of the things that I've been quite astounded by, I must say, over about the last 3 or 4 years in particular, is that the regard that George Pell is held overseas is almost inversely proportional. Or, sorry, let me turn that around, is directly proportional to the disdain that he seems to be held in within Australia.
Right.
The reaction overseas to this kind of, to this announcement today really said it all. George Pell has a remarkable reputation within the global Catholic Church. He's regarded as being, if I can just put it this way, as something of an intellectual. He's not a machine man. He's firm, he's independent thinking, but more than anything else, and I think here's where we need to simply throw aside a lot of the, you know, doctrinally conservative or Neanderthal-like appellations. He is regarded fundamentally as a theologian and as a diocesan cardinal. In other words, a cardinal who is a cardinal because he has pastoral oversight over large and complex dioceses. I think here we're beginning to get to why this is so significant. There are two types of cardinals, Waleed. I think maybe a lot of people aren't quite aware of this. There are diocesan cardinals, in other words, people who have actual parish experience. They're part of the pastoral makeup of the church. They have that kind of local oversight within their home countries. And then there are those cardinals who are part of the Holy See bureaucracy. They are cardinals by appointment or by promotion. They oftentimes have bureaucratic or diplomatic status. It is remarkable on any number of levels that it is a quite a high profile, quite an intellectually robust, but also, you know, and here I think people might roll their eyes when I say this, but a real Vatican outsider who's been appointed to this crucial role that Pope Francis identified right at the beginning of his papacy as one of the main fields of reform that he wanted to pursue.
But is it at all a theological role? I mean, what he's doing is basically becoming the money man within the Vatican. Does that take him out of theological action?
No. You see, yes. Thank you so much for asking that question. You'd think I'd maybe send it to you on the sly.
Yeah.
Look, all of these roles, Waleed, are theological roles. Just notice, for instance, that the Vatican Bank isn't called the Vatican Bank. It's called the Institute for the Works of Religion. I think one of the things that Pope Francis, very much like his predecessor, Pope Benedict, very much like his predecessor, Pope Paul II, one of the things that they all stressed is that the church mustn't pursue what Pope Francis himself referred to at the very beginning of his papacy as a form of spiritual worldliness. In other words, it might look like the church, but it conducts itself in its financial dealings, in the way that it promotes, in its forms of patronage, in the way that it might use various maybe forms of indirect or non-transparent influence. It might look like the church, but it acts like any other secular organization.
Right.
I think one of the really important things here, and again, Pope Francis has been incredibly clear about this from the very beginning, is that there mustn't be anything in the way that the church conducts its business, in the way that it organizes itself bureaucratically, diplomatically, organizationally, there mustn't be anything that causes the church's fundamental task in the world to be hindered, or for its reputation to be tarnished. So I think, you know, let me just, as someone who's undergone extensive theological training myself, I think it's a great day for celebration that the theologians are back in charge of money. I think that's brilliant.
Well, yes, although, as you say, in Australia, this is a theologian who, as several of his critics, and some of them are to do, well, I'd probably say a lot of them are to do with the current Royal Commission that we have on child sex abuse, and he's meant to be giving evidence at the Royal Commission in Sydney, but now he's going to go take up this role at the end of March. And I note there's been some criticism about that, suggesting this timing is all very convenient and so on. Do you think there's anything to that criticism?
Nope. That was completely predictable. As soon as these things are mentioned, these are the sorts of criticisms that get rolled out. I do notice that no sooner was the press release from the Sydney Archdiocese in office sent out that it was made very, very clear that Cardinal Pell isn't dodging any responsibilities, but instead he's delaying his departure for Rome until he's had the opportunity to front the Royal Commission. I should also say, Waleed, I'm not making any judgments about the criticisms concerning him. I think maybe they're a bit harsh. I think maybe he's become a bit of the churchman that Australia loves to hate. But I don't think one can say at any level that he's actually dodged scrutiny or not availed himself to questioning. Just recall his appearance before the Victorian inquiry last year.
Well, yes, which got a lot of criticism. I recall that well. But isn't the question about consequence? If something comes out of this Royal Commission that is very uncomfortable, or he gets criticised in a very, very serious, strenuous way, does he somehow escape that by being overseas, or does it perhaps even impact upon the job that he's meant to do now in the Vatican?
I wouldn't imagine so. My suspicion is that such has been the scrutiny to which Cardinal Pell in particular has been subjected, that if something of a particularly damning nature was going to come out, if his reputation will have been irredeemably tarnished, then I'm pretty sure that there would have been much stronger indication of that than now, or before now. Could I just say, though, Waleed, I think it's precisely because of this issue that maybe we have a few clues about who Cardinal Pell's replacement might be in Sydney.
Okay.
I noticed that the Bishop Anthony Fisher from Parramatta has already been elevated in the minds of many to being the likely frontrunner. Okay, I wouldn't exactly put down a bet on this, but my suspicion, even though he's only been Archbishop of Brisbane for a short period of time, my suspicion is that Archbishop Mark Coleridge would be the most likely successor.
Didn't he just say no? He said not interested, don't want to do it?
Yes, but let's see what happens. And it's for this fundamental reason that there is no senior cleric within Australian public life that has a better reputation, that has handled himself not just better, but also more critically of the Church's own dealings with child sexual abuse than has Mark Coleridge. I think he has both the gravitas and also the intellectual and moral credibility for precisely that kind of difficult role.
Good to talk to you, Scott. Thank you very much for joining us and speaking to us on the phone today. I know you're frantically running around doing lectures and a bunch of stuff, so to find the time nonetheless is very generous of you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Willie.
Scott Stevens, editor of the ABC's Religion and Ethics website.